passion that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this special broadcast of Signs of Life, brought to you live by Forever Family Foundation from the beautiful DoubleTree by Hilton Golf Resort in San Diego, California. We are here with our host, Bob Ginsberg, and our early arrival attendees for our 7th annual Afterlife Conference. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight and the entire conference weekend is sponsored by Starseed Gems Studios. They can be found at starseedgems.com. Tonight's special guests are Lloyd Auerbach, also known in some circles as Professor Paranormal, Dr. Stephen E. Browdy, Janet Mayer, Lee Ashley, Kathleen Cowell, and Nancy Marlowe. If you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests during the show, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. And good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Hello.
And we are here in sunny San Diego, and the conference actually begins tomorrow with a Friday night banquet fundraiser. So if you're in the area, stop by. There's still some seats left, right? Mm-hmm. And we do have, as Fran mentioned, an illustrious panel with us today, and we can get some perspectives from the world of mediumship, as we have four wonderful certified mediums at the conference here. And Lloyd Auerbach, as you know from previous shows, who also happens to be the president of the Forever Family Foundation, is a parapsychologist. I have trouble sometimes remembering everything that you are. Adjunct professor, psychic entertainer, chocolatier, author. And as you know from, if you're listening to the show a few months back, Dr. Browdy is emeritus professor of philosophy and former chair of the department. He's a researcher and author of five or four books.
Five or nine, depending on how you count.
Okay. Okay, well, I do know the last one was The Gold Leaf Lady.
Yes.
I've read the others, but that we'll go with the last one. And Janet Mayer is also presenting at the conference, and we won't give too much information about you, let people be surprised, but she's a certified medium with the foundation, as is Lee Ashley and Kathy Towell and Nancy Marlowe. So welcome, everyone. And I thought, you know, here we are, we're discussing the possibility of an afterlife, and people have been discussing and searching for that answer for thousands of years, and now it's thousands of years later, we're still asking the same questions. And I always wonder, you know, why do we keep searching? Is it do people search because they have this innate knowledge that there must be something more, or do we search because it's fear-based? You know, we just hope we can't think of not being around anymore. So, are there people you think on both sides? It's just an intuitive thing, and we have this inner knowledge that we're trying to uncover, or we don't really know, and we just got to find some answers. So maybe what was the perspective from philosophy, Steve?
Good grief. I think you want a perspective from psychology about why people look, but philosophers have always been intrigued by the very concept of death. You know, what in the world does that mean? What's the relationship between mind and body? There's so many perspectives one can take to get at that general question. Some people don't even bother to look, and unfortunately many of them are in the field of philosophy.
True.
There's a surprising lack of curiosity among the people you'd expect to be most curious.
And a few of your colleagues, I'm sure, that look at you kind of cross-eyed wondering why you were curious, right?
Well, once I stopped writing exclusively in the areas of philosophy of science and logic and turned to parapsychology, my status in the field changed dramatically.
Amazing what happened. Lloyd, what do you think people search? I mean, obviously, in the paranormal field, I mean, is that the reason why people...
Well, I think it's both. I think people do have a fear of the afterlife. And, you know, you go back
in the anthropological record, and we go back to Neanderthals and Cro-Magnons even before, there were afterlife-related ceremonies. They buried people with their tools. They buried them with whatever their treasures were. So they assumed that they'd be going on to some other time. But also at that time, they were trying to explain away the natural world in ways that they could only understand, so they came up with other things. But it really, you know, some of the ideas they came up with, which have lasted through, seem to be based on experience, not based on fear as well. Mm. So there's probably a little bit of a mix of both of them goes through.
Now, I mean, obviously people go to see mediums in the hope that they're going to connect. I mean, why else would they be going to you? So there's an inherent, they may not totally believe in an afterlife, but if there's a possibility of connecting with their loved one, that's where you come in. So, I mean, it's a tough question, I know, but I mean, when people come to see you and asking for a connection to a loved one, do they really expect to get one, or, you know, or are they prove it to me kind of thing, and you know, or is it a mixture of everything? I'm asking anybody wants to jump in.
You know, I think it is. It's a mixture. I think there is a proof part of a reading that, you know, we're establishing the evidence for people. So I think there is that part. But I think a lot of people who at least come to me have touched in on it in some form, and they have a question. And they want to get more of it. I think people who are engaged in the fear aspect probably stay away from us. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're thinking about their own fear of death, which I think is different than fear of touching in on the paranormal. I think those are two separate kinds of issues. But most people who I work with, they're asking questions because they have some sense that things are different, or they've had an experience, mm-hmm. and they want to make sense of it. And they want comfort around their experience.
Right. I think they need that comfort. You know, if they lost a loved one, they want to know that they're okay. And, you know, when they come into a reading, they don't say, I want to talk to, you know, Joe. They want to see if you say Joe or if you say something about Joe. And, to you know, that's their connection. And they want, even though they, you can call it proof or not proof, however you want to label it,
right.
They just want to have that connection. And I think that also maybe they want to validate their own experience. You know, a lot of people have had experiences and they're not sure if it was a real experience or not, or could they have it, and they just want validation to that too.
I think the people that come to me agree also that they're coming because it's based on a past experience. Most of the people that come to a reading have had some sort of experience that has led them to think, oh my goodness, there's something there. What is this? And so they want to understand. And I don't get fear-based people. I get people that are coming out of hope, and they want an education. They want to, and by education, I mean they want to experience more than they've experienced.
Right.
So I don't see fear. I see hope.
You know what gets me? You drive through any town, and you see, like, I was sitting in a red light the other day, and I looked to my left, and there's a big sign that said, psychic spiritual counselor. You know, so it drives me a little nuts because, in my opinion, I think we make a mistake by putting everything that's psychic in the category of spirituality, depending on how you define
right.
spirituality.
Yeah, well, spirituality or not.
Yeah, I mean, spirituality in a sense is coming from a higher intelligence or for the greater good. So if you're getting information telepathically from somebody, does that make you qualified to counsel somebody spiritually? I know, I'll tell you, sometimes when we do the medium certification program, and I try to explain to a medium that we're not scoring psychic information, we can't do that. Our main interest is in survival, and we're trying to see if there's evidence, you know, of survival. And so, if you give me information that you get by a remote viewing or a psychic in a psychic way, it's not going to be scored. And there, some mediums will say to me, well, don't you understand that all psychic information comes from the spirit world, meaning that discarnates are giving them that information. So
I know a lot of psychics would totally disagree with that one.
I mean, do you think that we make, from the perspective of science, do people make a mistake by labeling all of these things in a spiritual, just equating them with spirituality? Is there a clear difference between telepathy and discarnate communication?
Isn't that telepathy too?
Well, yeah, we're just one without a body. But yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Lloyd nailed it. He's exactly right. I mean, it's telepathy, whether it's coming from a discarnate or a living agent.
Right. But if a medium says to me I just painted my bedroom pink, you know, and I did, to me there's nothing spiritual about that. That's just an ability, a psychic ability they have.
Unless you felt spiritual after painting your.
But I try to explain to the medium. Okay, if you at first you're bringing through Grandma Gertrude, and you give me several pieces of information identifying Grandma Gertrude, and then Grandma says, "Oh, by the way, she likes that you just painted your room pink." Now, that's a piece of strong evidence, as far as I'm concerned, once they make the tie-in. But
right. You have other stuff to back it up.
Right.
Right.
But, yeah. Do all people have psi ability to one degree or another, do you think?
I think that's one of the big open questions at the moment.
Right. I think everybody has the potential. It's whether they develop it and know how to develop it. And I think spirituality becomes maybe, it's something a little separate, but it's tied in too, because I think once people have an experience or they're exploring the different sensory ways that they pick up information psychically or in mediumship too, it does tend to tie into why are we here and things that of a spiritual nature that pull you in too, like looking for why and how do you put this in a container and how do I make it safe and how does it mesh with religion, the things that we've been taught. And sometimes when we explore this way, it sort of starts to undo some of the things that we've been taught. Or it's different, especially when you have experiences around it. So, yeah.
We're gonna talk more about this. We're going to go to a short break. We come back, we're going to talk about some unseen things, maybe get different perspectives on souls and higher souls. But stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guests tonight are Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Stephen E. Browdy, Janet Mayer, Lee Ashley, Nancy Marlowe, and Kathy Cowell. Our sponsor for the entire conference weekend is Star Seed Gems Studios at starseedgems.com. Bob?
And, you know, this would be a good question for Lloyd to start off with. I mean, obviously you do a lot of work in the paranormal world where people associate with evil or malevolent spirits. So, what are your thoughts about, you know, good versus evil in the spiritual realm?
I've yet to see anything really evil other than some of the people that I've met who are alive doing evil things.
Oh, I thought you were going to say at this table.
But there was a waitress I worked with when I was a bartender many years ago. She was really evil, but that was, you know. People misinterpret things. I mean, people do stupid things. They do bad things. And they do evil things, you know, but they're not necessarily inherently evil. There's a book by Simon Baron Cohen called The Science of Evil. And it talks about evil as not really evil, but a lack of empathy for people. And I think it's a really good way to look at it, because it's not the good versus evil thing. And what's really interesting with all the reports people give me about, you know, calling me about the ghosts in their house or something else, and even watching the TV shows where they get an EVP where it says, yells at them to get out, that's a reaction of people to what they're hearing or what they're seeing, and they're often misinterpreting it. Even the get out thing is more about, if they're getting a real EVP from a real entity, it's because the ghost hunters went in and started yelling at the ghosts, and they were told to get out. So they were the evil ones in their sense, yeah.
Well, mediums certainly never give information that could be remotely interpreted as being evil.
Yeah.
Is that because they're not saying these things, or they're not repeating these things, or you're never...
I've never had it. I've never had anybody come through that was, quote, as somebody would say, evil. I've had people that come through, or spirits that come through that have done something bad while here, but I've never had anybody that said evil. So when they talk about that on the TV, it just goes right through me.
Right. How about you, Leah?
I've had people come through who were stuck in their lives and managed to not be completely at the other side and have come through reading and have asked for help and have asked for prayers and sometimes very specific types of prayers, but they were aware that they were not where they wanted to be and they were reaching out, and I wouldn't call that evil. I would call that distressed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, do people, in the metaphysical world, people talk about that we all have a higher soul. Various civilizations and cultures and religions talk about, like binary souls or many souls. There's a lower soul, there's a higher soul. But perhaps our true nature is moving towards this higher soul. But does everybody have a higher soul? I mean, are there people that just don't, would you think, if you believe in the soul theory?
I think we do in there somewhere. And every thought that we have and every action that we take is going to either bring us further forward or put us further back. And just a conscious awareness of that is useful.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but from my point of view, I think there is an energy that we're all connecting to, and whether through our highest form of who we are. And, you know, I think there's a piece of that in everybody, probably. Or, I don't know, that's how I relate to it. There's a way that we come in through this higher part of ourselves that I think that's why when we're doing the work we do, it keeps us even in a good place because it's connected to love. I mean, I think that's really, for me, that's what my readings tend to be about.
It's about intention, too. I think we each probably have a prayer that we start with, and I ask to connect with the highest source of love and light and energy in the universe, and I don't want anyone else bothering me. And they don't.
And there's souls of all levels. I mean, I think what Lloyd was saying is really, really right on, because I do a lot of paranormal work, too, and, you know, things that scare people are really often misunderstood energy,
right?
That we're not used to thinking about spirit in the way, even recognizing that spirit fills the room, you know, and that we bring our spirits with us, our dead people, our loved ones. We bring that connection, and we're not used to thinking about that. We're used to thinking that it's a special thing that happens occasionally, but really we are connected.
I think the evil thing gets connected very often to, you know, the idea of hell and the devil, and that's where the issue really is. And, you know, some of the people say, you know, some things might be harmful psychologically or otherwise, and, you know, a shark is incredibly dangerous, but a shark is not evil.
Right.
It does a lot of bad things.
I'm sorry, I was starting to laugh before because I was talking about the messages that have come through of evil nature. I remember once years and years ago, Fran and I went to this retreat in England, and there were a bunch of, you know, mediums there. I was at a time in my life that, quite frankly, I thought they were all full of crap. You know, I really didn't think there was such a thing. But this one medium, you know, gets up, and you talk about only giving things for the higher good. And this medium, I thought it was, she was doing a comedy routine. He was like, "Oh, I have your Uncle George here. What a son of a bitch!" You know, and he was giving everything that he was given was like negative and then bad. I was looking for the cameras, like, be real. But his whole reading was all like negative stuff. But that's the only one that I've ever encountered that did that. You know?
Heavily influenced by Don Rickles, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. No, the guy, he was evil. There was just a bad energy about him. So I guess maybe that's true. If he attracted, you know, people, discarnates.
Well, personality. I think personality stays with them.
Right.
Maybe they had a Don Rickles over there, you know.
Well, I often get people from the other side that cuss, and they're really bad about it. And they'll come in and blah, 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 and I'm just going, did they talk like that?
Yeah,
that's him.
New Yorkers.
Yeah, you don't sound like
a cuss.
Just the fact that you said cuss, I don't think that you do.
Oh, like cuss. So, and I do think that we're here as a soul living on Earth in a human body. That's kind of like what I've gained through my readings. That's my belief after doing these readings. And that we come here to learn. And I feel like also when we die and get to the other side, we're still learning. And we kind of like go to school there for this, or go to school there for that. And we progress throughout eternity learning and becoming enlightened. And the more enlightened we are, the higher consciousness we have.
Right.
No, that's kind of like what I've experienced.
No, I know we have an expert at this table in astrology. You thought you were going to get away unscathed.
Yeah, I
know. Gina, so in astrology, there's a relationship between astronomical phenomena and human experience, right? So when I look at that at first glance, I say, well, it's because of various physical reasons, geomagnetic reasons, planet alignments, and that kind of stuff. So when we talk about psi phenomena, is astrology in that category of of sight?
What I'm able to do, I'm able to detect if somebody does have good abilities, any kind, psychological. It has to be either 8th house or 12th house or Neptune in first or some. So that's the basics, so more the better over there.
Right.
We can go then further, for example, who likes astrology knows to the term, is somebody like a higher soul or just have this, as we call, horizontal life. It means biological. It also the terms from the planets and ascendant. I also tried recently to detect, can I detect if somebody really died or is still alive? I don't know. I found it's very difficult to find somebody exactly time of death, yeah? You're not sitting exactly at the person, yeah? Mm-hmm. So,
right.
And in astrology, time is very important. But I did find in some cases, for example, it was lots written about Elvis Presley. So I did find very precisely that, yes, he had a way to have the open door to both worlds. So I think in some way he's alive. For others, for example, Michael Jackson, I think he definitely died. It is close with 8th house square, Saturn, such and such, at the time. But you have to have a lot of information because we in astrology deal with this very precise minutes, more precise, better, yeah?
Right. So is it pure calculations and mathematics?
I do like to do a lot of calculation, yeah. Before I go a little further or go in some other interest, but I do like to have very heavy calculations.
Wait a minute. You think it's important to be a psychologist to be a good astrologer?
That's true. You have to have a lot of knowledge from various areas and reading and such and mythology and such. It's not just like that. Okay, I see people
right.
who are writing books. It's just very, very poor knowledge. But I do like to do practice, so I do it heavily.
Right. You do astrology as well, Kathy? Or,
yeah.
Yeah. So do you do a lot of calculations in your work? Or
you know, I'm more intuitive, actually,
yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean,
about Western astrology.
Right,
yeah?
And
okay.
I'm talking
yes.
about that, too.
Yes, because it's completely different in others.
I use calculations, but I'm interpreting them, I guess. I don't go further than really kind of the basic transits and, you know, natal charts.
My main interest is whether or not you could pick winners of football games.
Well, that's what I'm in Vegas. That's my favorite sports game.
They don't allow you in the casinos anymore, do they?
I'm chain switching between casinos.
I'm thinking
twice
on my next trip.
Yeah. I think we'd all be rich.
Well, let me know.
Okay.
I want to go too.
Well, Lloyd, when you do these physical, you know, investigations, and oftentimes
mm-hmm.
you'll bring a qualified medium with you. So when you bring a medium with you on an investigation, is it mainly to hone in on certain energies, or, you know, I would think that during such an investigation, if there was somebody in spirit and they saw a medium there and they're trying to get a message through, they would start communicating through the medium. So does that happen?
That does happen. I work with, right now I'm working with several people who are students or former students of mine. One is a medium, one picks up on energy and emotion, another one picks up on something else altogether and does energy clearing. So I've got like a little team together that covers all things. I used to work with Annette Martin, who was co-author of my last book. She passed away a couple of years ago, and she was both a psychic and a medium, and she differentiated the two. She got psychic information and information from, you know, people who were deceased. So when we go into cases, it depends. I don't even bring them necessarily in every case because some of them don't need that, but I sometimes have to work with them to parse out who might have even come in to speak to the medium who had nothing to do with the situation in the house from what was going on in the house.
Mm.
And it might be somebody completely different too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a difficult. I mean, that happens with Dan Sturgis.
Yeah, my buddy Dan. You do work with Dan. That's right. You know, it's like it seems that when mediums walk into an investigation, there's a light, like a spotlight goes out, and it says, "There's a medium here.
Come on down.
Everybody, come on in. You know,
lobby door.
That's right.
You know.
That's the medium I work with. She now, when she walks in, she immediately starts saying, "Okay, I'm only dealing with whoever is here. Everybody else, meet me outside."
Yeah, that's good.
Groundwork.
Yeah.
We're going to go to another break. We come back. We're going to talk much more about this. Stay with us, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guests tonight are Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Stephen Browdy, Janet Mayer, Lee Ashley, Nancy Marlowe, and Kathy Carroll. This show is sponsored by Starseed Gems Studios, and they are found at starseedgems.com. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few foundation updates. We want to let you know there's three ways to show us you like us on Signs of Life Radio. Go to Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. You can use the donate button on any one of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. And you can remember us when you shop. When you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items, and for each search, we will receive a donation. And when you find out what you are looking for, and there are more than 1,300 online stores like 1-800-Flowers, Adidas, Radio Shack, or Urban Outfitters, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holidays Past raffle is in full swing, and the drawing is just around the corner on December 23rd. Win a one-hour phone reading with one of our certified mediums who are in this raffle. We have Dave Campbell, Eliza Ray, Nancy Marlowe, who's here with us tonight, Tracy Lee Nash, and Catherine Nadell. It's only $5 a chance. And our annual December Holidays Past events are scheduled for Natick, Massachusetts, with medium Sari Bernstein on December 7th, Compton Lakes, New Jersey, with medium Janet Nohavik on December 14th, and on December 21st is Angelina Diana in South Windsor, Connecticut, and Amy Utzman in Fort Myers, Florida. Reservation and information pages are now up on the Forever Family Foundation website, and email notifications have gone out. Back to everybody else here.
Thank you, and we are back. And we were talking a bit before about messages that come through, and I know that Dr. Browdy has done a lot of research with physical mediums. And you're also familiar with channeling. And the way I, from everything that I've read in channel reports, there are always messages of higher importance. I mean, in channeling, I never read anything about people just discussing the weather. I mean, it's usually some serious stuff. So, I mean, is that what channeling is about? You don't see much of it today, but in physical mediums, they channel, right? Where somebody takes over their body.
Well, that's one form of physical mediumship. Not all physical mediums seem to be taken over by a discarnate.
And when they are taken over, I mean, are they discussing things of higher importance? Or?
No, not always. I wish that were true, but sometimes it's really mundane.
So the theory would be just that the physical, the medium presents this channel that they're taking advantage of and communicating.
Sometimes control personalities, most control personalities seem to be clearly fictitious. And sometimes they're guilty of extreme ethnographic confusions. I mean, there was one English medium whose control personality claimed to be a black African who wanted to see the key to his wigwam.
Okay.
I didn't know wigwam for keys. What are you, I mean, obviously the type of mediumship that the four of you are gifted with differs from the physical mediumship. You know, I mean, for the most part, spirit is not taking over your body or speaking through you, and things aren't levitating around the room and so forth. Have you ever felt where some spirit form was taking over your body?
I have, and I actually feel them press up against me. I allow them to enter my body, and so I'm aware of my personality and my mind and who I am, but I'm also aware of another person inside my body. And when they come in, I find myself moving. My body will move, my arms will. For instance, I just did a reading on a woman, and all of a sudden she came in like a really strong personality, and she says, "Hey, I'm Lucille, and I'm a painter," and boy, my arms started flying out like this, and she smoked. So I started going like this with a cigarette, and I said, "Oh, I love these cigarettes, you know, or whatever." They do come in like that. No, not every discarnate will do that. But when I sense them, I sense them trying to come in. So, and when they're real strong, and if I want them to, I can control them, they come in. I move like them, I talk like them, and my voice will sometimes change. So it's quite, they don't stay in a long time, and it's not scary. It's actually kind of fun. The last time I did it, after I'd done it, no one had seen me work. The people in the group hadn't seen me work before. And when the lady said, "Are you an actress? Where'd you learn to do that?
Right.
You know, are you acting?" I said, "No, I'm not an actress. I'm a medium."
Well, I observed a reading once with a medium. Was talking to the sitter, and all of a sudden the medium started doing sign language.
Yeah.
And the medium did not know sign language, and then the sitter said, "Why, you know, are you doing sign language?" And she said, "I really don't know." She said, "Well, her daughter, who was deceased, was deaf."
Yeah.
So, you know, and so that was kind of interesting.
I don't even like with the languages. I feel like sometimes they come through. It's really strong. Mm-hmm. You know, I've already felt like I almost was going to go out completely. And it's like you do sort of, I don't want to say fight it, but you suppress it because you're like, "Oh, no, I'm in control here, uh-uh," you know, and that's an interesting thing for me that I'm still working on personally.
Right. People are going to find out a lot more about that over the weekend when Janet starts speaking the language. I won't ask you to do it now. But
I also feel like I need to have boundaries. I can feel when it's a stronger spirit and they want to come in, and I will let them to a certain extent. You know, mannerisms or voice or a personality changes, but I'm aware of it, and I'm clear. I've given them some kind of boundary as to, like, how far they can go. I have had twice spirits flirt with me in a very physical way, and I thought that was pretty cheeky.
Boyd, have you ever had those spirits flirt with you in any way? Or? Well, you have, actually.
I have, actually, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, the case that I've been doing the longest, the Moss Beach Distillery restaurant, the woman there has walked through me and witnessed by several mediums at the time, and it was not a negative thing. My wife is out giving me a look right now. So, I do a lot of work on board the USS Hornet Aircraft Carrier Museum, and a lot of women, probably the most common thing women report on that ship, is being pinched on the rear by the sailors.
They could get away with it. That's why.
They totally get away with it. Yeah.
Hey, spirit.
Hey, something to look forward to, Bob.
There was an article in the paper last week. We discussed this before on the show briefly, but it just struck me, it was in England, and the guy started getting into studying near-death experiences and a lot of the other, you know, phenomena, and he tried to get himself into that state where he was near death. Unfortunately, he went too far, you know, and he drowned. You know, he was trying to deprive himself of oxygen, and it was an accident, but it just struck me how important it is, you know, for some people when they read about these things and they hear of other experiences. It sounds, wow, a near-death experience. I want to visit the afterlife, you know.
Human beings have been looking for alternative experiences. I mean, altered states and substances we take into our bodies, and, you know, that's the thing that may have made us higher animals.
Right.
Actually increased consciousness in evolution. Even there are other creatures on the planet who do, you know, like to get drunk and get you know, eat mushrooms and things like that to have non-ordinary states, too. So.
Well, it's DMT, right?
Yeah.
It still strikes me how we all, not only humans, but all species have this molecule, or what is DMT? It's a strain of a chemical, but it's a natural hallucinogen. So if you believe in a greater design, why would plants and animals and humans all have this, you know, chemical that would seem to have no other use other than these hallucinatory capabilities? I say hallucinatory, but maybe I'm open to the fact that we're designed that way because that's the way that we connect, and maybe that's the way you all connect.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who's to say? So it may be part of a great scheme. I don't know, but certainly.
Hallucinogenics.
People who need to have an experience or want to have an experience that aren't naturally where we are, maybe.
But is it a hallucination or is it a connection?
Right. Well, that's a good question.
Or you have that connection, somehow you fall into it, and then you want it back, and so you don't know how to get it back because you had it or something, an experience, you know.
Or maybe it just alters things so that you have this entryway into something that you will maybe investigate in a different way or
yeah.
learn how to replicate it in a non-hallucinogenic way, you know, hopefully.
I know we're nearing the end of our time, but I wanted to actually ask Steve this. One thing that's concerning, we look at various scientists that we know and researchers in this field, that it appears that not too many of them share their information. And I understand, when I say share it with colleagues, and I understand one reason for that. I mean, there's no money in this field. Everybody's fighting for grants, trying to carve out their little niche, but... Do you find that, or is it troubling?
Do you mean share with other people who are doing this kind of research?
Right. I mean, I keep thinking that there's a common denominator that ties this all together. And if maybe the people that are experts in NDEs start sharing with the people
They do.
Or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are listservs for parapsychologists, for parapsychology insiders. So a lot of the dialogue goes on there.
You find that as well? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that we try to share as much as we can, and there's a limit of time and money.
Right.
And opportunity is what it amounts to.
Okay. Well, that answers my question, and I think that we have concluded. Fran's got some closing announcements, so thank everybody for being here tonight.
Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Leanne Ashley, David Mello, Phyllis Alexander, Betty Alexander, Ann Hutchinson, John Cahali, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel S., Jeanette Davies, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Marian Pierzga, Laura Prisco, Stanley Newland, Julie Beach, Glenna Irwin, Barbara Patillo, David Hayes, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafada, Mark Farron, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Francis Mastracco, and Jean Lash. And now, let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.